Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk Chicago's NFL Draft Special. My name is John Zagluel, owner and operator of the site. In this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the NFL Draft, specifically the first round, see who's going to be going where, talk about the Bears and who they may be picking with their 8th overall pick, and have a very special guest on. Somebody who did play in the NFL, and someone who today is a big-time analyst and host over at ESPN 710 Los Angeles. All of that and more, but first, just a few quick announcements. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports, and hit me up personally on Instagram and LinkedIn at John Zags, and on Twitter at John Z Sports. Also, if you're looking for a place here in the local area to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for both adults and children, check out the Arts and Crafts Studio by Mucci World, where inspiration meets creation. You can find them at the Tinley Park Downs Shopping Center at 7913 West 171st Street in Tinley Park. If you have any questions, give them a call at 708-247-2100. Again, that's 708-247-2100. So the NFL draft is upon us, and rightfully so. Lots of teams looking forward to this so that way they can improve their chances of contending next season or the year after. We're going to look at some first-round storylines, talk about the Bears and what they are going to do, and more. But first, let's take a look at the Cleveland Browns, who have picks number 1 and 4 this year. Very interesting situation for them. I mean, they started this offseason as a nobody, then made some very interesting trades and free agency signings, getting Jarvis Landry from the Dolphins, a guy who the Bears were tied to, and Tyrod Taylor to be their new QB. And by the way, personal bias in there, because I am a huge Tyrod Taylor fan. But nevertheless, the Browns made some very interesting moves. And with picks number 1 and 4 this year, obviously, they don't want to screw up. I mean, think about what happened beforehand with the Browns. How many quarterbacks they've gone through. And even in this example here, I'm looking at a mock draft that has the team selecting Sam Darnold and Saquon Barkley. A few years back, the team selected Brandon Whedon and Trent Richardson in the draft, a running back and quarterback, both guys who were supposed to be great players, but turned out both to be busts. So you have to be careful in the draft, and you have to be careful of who you end up picking, because not everyone is going to turn out the way they are, quote-unquote, projected to. But anyways, who should the Browns draft, and what should they do in this very interesting situation by having picks number 1 and 4? Well, I think that Sam Darnold is the correct choice for them at number 1. Darnold is the consensus best quarterback in this draft class, but I will say this about him, and I hate to generalize, but about USC quarterbacks in general. Something about them is that they never really produce at the NFL level. I mean, Mark Sanchez, John David Booty, and Matt Leinart are all quarterbacks from USC who have done little to nothing in the NFL. The only quarterback that I could find from that USC pedigree who has done something at least somewhat productive is Carson Palmer, and he just retired this past season. So that's the problem for Darnold, is that he's going to be grouped into other guys who are considered busts. Now, the funny part about Darnold is, though, he is still considered the best quarterback in this draft compared to all the others. Now, Darnold in 2 seasons at USC did very well. Year 1, 3,086 yards, 31 touchdowns, 9 picks. And last season, 41-43 as far as yards goes, 26 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. Now, as far as his QB rating goes, both seasons averaged out, combines to a 153.7 rating. So there's no doubt that this guy is good at what he does. The thing about Darnold is, though, he throws the football very weird and very odd. I mean, his arm motion as he throws and releases the football is actually his biggest problem. And according to Lance Zierlein over at NFL Network, he compiled a scouting report on Darnold, and the thing about his release, and here it goes, quoting from the article, quote, his elongated release is impossible to miss. His windup gives defenders an early clue to break on the throw, and his muscle memory may not allow for release correction, meaning that if Darnold for some reason forgot how to throw or was in a bit of a slump in regards to his release point or timing the way in which he threw the ball, he may not remember how to throw the ball anymore because of the way in which he throws, which is very odd. So there are some problems with Darnold, but his strengths definitely outweigh his weaknesses. He has a desired NFL size, he trusts his pocket, keeps his eyes down the field, and gets through progressions like a pro. Zuerlein, in an overview, said, at the end of the day, Darnold has NFL size, arm strength, accuracy, pocket mobility, poise, and field reading capability. His windup is an eyesore for sure, but he has the velocity to mitigate the additional release time. Darnold has the chance to become a good NFL quarterback with a ceiling to be one of the top-tier quarterbacks in the game. Now, that scouting report there for Sam Darnold looks pretty good and is pretty generous compared to the other ones I'm looking at for the other quote-unquote top quarterbacks here in this year's draft. For example, looking at Josh Rosen, here's an overview. Josh Rosen's footwork and mechanics make him as a pretty good quarterback. The biggest concern with Rosen is that his on-field success requires many elements to stay on schedule. He lacks plus arm strength. So identifying coverage, pre and post snap, and throwing with anticipation takes on added importance. So yet again, we see another problem, or another hole. As we saw with Darnold with his odd arm motion, we see it here with Rosen because he has to overcompensate in order to be considered a good quarterback. He doesn't necessarily have the raw talent. He has the intangibles, which are good and something that he will need in the NFL, but he doesn't have the raw talent, meaning he will have to try harder and overcompensate in order to be a successful NFL quarterback. Looking at Josh Allen, an overview on him. Likely to be the biggest boom or bust quarterback prospect in the draft. Allen's size and arm talent are prototypical for early first-round picks, but it's rare to find a quarterback with such a low college completion rate become a successful pro. And that's a problem right there. I would rather, personally, have a guy who can at least complete his passes. It's easier to teach arm strength than it is to teach completion percentage. If you cannot hit the guy or hit your receiver as he runs a route, you are useless as a quarterback. We saw that with Jamarcus Russell. We've seen that with other quarterback prodigies coming out of college. Guys with low completion rates in college who cannot transfer it to the NFL. You have to be able to hit your wide receivers when they run routes. If you throw the ball behind them, or too low or too high, you're risking number one, incompletions, number two, lots of third and outs, and number three, many interceptions. And that's going to be a problem for Allen, assuming he gets drafted by the Browns or any other team in the first round. Then you look at Baker Mayfield, who had a really good year last year in Oklahoma. Here's his overview. Spread quarterbacks have had limited success, as have small quarterbacks. Mayfield falls into both categories and has to prove he can transcend those perceived deficiencies on the next level. And another thing that Mayfield has that may cause some problems for him off the field is his behavior off the field. Many have compared him to a guy like Johnny Manziel, who at the moment is trying to make it back to the NFL after repeated problems with drug use and sexual assault charges. So Mayfield is going to have to get his act together off the field as well as transcend those difficulties described here in the scouting report if he wants a chance to become a successful NFL quarterback. Despite all of those issues, though, Mayfield is projected to go third or fourth overall, most preferably to the Jets, which is even more surprising. So many people are still interested in Mayfield, and they feel like that once he gets on a certain team, that organization can work out his problems and get him ready for the season. But still, other red flags under Mayfield's name. And then finally, we've got Lamar Jackson, one of my favorite prospects in this draft. Evaluating Jackson against the NFL standards for the position will cause him to come up short. However, he has rare speed and athleticism and can single-handedly win games. Jackson's accuracy is clearly spotty, and teams must decide the level of accuracy they are willing to live with relative to his ability to create explosive plays. Jackson is an explosive player, a former Heisman Trophy winner as well at Louisville. And the thing I like about Jackson is that this guy can throw for 4,000 yards and can rush for 1,000. He did it multiple times in college, which is just simply astronomical. I mean, it's eyebrow-raising considering the potential and considering his already great athleticism that he has. The problem for him, although, as we mentioned here in that scouting report, is that he too, like Allen, has some problems with accuracy, and that's going to be a problem and a turnoff for many NFL teams. Hopefully Jackson can find a team in which his accuracy will not matter as much. And what I mean by that is teams like a West Coast offensive style who like to run the ball with the quarterback. Someone like a Colin Kaepernick could be comparable to a Lamar Jackson. And if he could fit a system similar to the 49ers had with Kaepernick, he will thrive in the NFL. But if not, he's going to have some trouble not only staying in the NFL, but let alone getting drafted in the first round. So with all of this in mind for quarterbacks, I wanted to get back to the Browns and think about what they should really do, because they also need a running back. And Saquon Barkley is considered one of the best running backs of his generation. He's going to be projected to go first through fourth in many mock drafts. So what I think the Browns should do, and I know it sounds a bit risky, but if they want to not take a chance and grab Saquon and a quarterback, they need to do this the right way. So obviously with the first overall pick, they're probably going to take Sam Darnold, which is fine. But at 2 and 3, they've got to hope that the Giants and Jets pass on Saquon Barkley. Now, I feel like that's going to be a problem for them. What I suggest they do is trade up to the 3 or 2 spot. Although they'll be giving up more in the long run, they'll be getting Barkley and Darnold. They need a starting quarterback after Tyrod Taylor is done, and they certainly need a running back, because last year, Duke Johnson Jr. and Isaiah Crowell did nothing for that team. Getting Saquon Barkley will jumpstart that offense, as he has the potential to rush for 1,000 to 1,200 yards in his rookie year alone. So again, for the Browns, I suggest they trade up, so that way they can get Saquon Barkley and a quarterback of their choice. That will really jumpstart their offense and then put them into the conversation about seriously making a playoff appearance this year. I mean, it sounds crazy because, yes, it's the Cleveland Browns, but they have the potential to really wreak some havoc and possibly get a wild card spot this year if they can play their cards right here in the draft. Next, I wanted to talk about the Bears, and they have the 8th overall pick this year. We've seen in the past how many times they've screwed up in regards to drafting certain players. I mean, Kevin White, a great example. Chris Williams, another, way back in, I believe it was 2008. So they want to make sure they get this one right this time. Now, there are numerous different mock drafts out there that have multiple different players supposedly coming to the Bears. I mean, a couple of Denzel Ward, the quarterback from Ohio State, but I don't necessarily think the Bears are going to look for a cornerback, considering they just shelled out some money to keep Kyle Fuller on the roster. Quentin Nelson is another, and this is the guy I think the Bears should go after, an offensive guard from Notre Dame. Nelson has Hall of Fame potential, according to his scouting report, and is compared to Joe Thomas, who recently retired as a member of the Cleveland Browns, and by the way, he is projected himself to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. So Nelson would really help the Bears on the offensive line. Think about this for a minute. Kyle Long, Cody Whitehair, and Quentin Nelson on the offensive line for the Bears? That would help everybody. Trubisky, obviously, for protection, but they would also open up some holes for Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen to run. I mean, the possibilities and the benefits are endless when drafting Nelson and having him team up with Long and Whitehair on the line. I feel like that is the smartest move that the Bears can do in this draft. But according to Ryan Pace, the Bears have 8 guys they are seriously considering about drafting with that 8th overall pick. Another name that has been floated is Calvin Ridley. And it was early on, now it's kind of gone away, but I'm sure the Bears are still looking into that possibility. Ridley, a stud wide receiver from Alabama. And last season with the Crimson Tide, he had 63 receptions for 967 yards. He has done very well over there. The Bears obviously need a wide receiver, as they have lost Cam Meredith. He could fit in very well with Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel. That would be a nice tandem, a triple tandem, I might add, for the Bears at their wide receiving core. So that's another guy the Bears could be looking at. Finally, somebody quite important who the Bears are really considering to draft here in this first round includes Roquan Smith, a linebacker from Georgia. And man, what a year he had last year. 137 total tackles, 14 of them for a loss and 6.5 sacks at the linebacker position for Georgia. I mean, that is just impressive. Smith, as far as his scouting report goes, he is considered an ascending linebacker prospect with elite athletic ability plus intelligence and an ability to be an effective cover linebacker on passing downs. While he's a little undersized, he does have the quickness and speed to keep himself from being mauled. He was good in 2016, but great in 2017, and projects as a player who hasn't tapped his full potential. Smith has Pro Bowl traits and talent, and will come off the board in the first round guaranteed. The only problem I have with the Bears drafting Roquan Smith is history. In 2016, with the 9th overall pick, the Bears drafted Leonard Floyd, a linebacker, and guess where? He was from Georgia as well. And although Floyd has not done horrible, he's not necessarily done what he was advertised to do, which was be a real presence, possibly be the next quote-unquote Brian Urlacher for this team, or Lance Briggs. Floyd has definitely not lived up to that potential. And now we're seeing another linebacker, another stud from Georgia. I don't think the Bears are going to make that mistake again, even though Smith is technically, in my opinion, a better player than Floyd. But because of that history, I don't think the Bears are going to take him with that 8th overall pick. If I had to predict who the Bears would take, I still think, wholeheartedly, it will be Quentin Nelson. He brings so much upside to this team. He is a safe pick considering how good he will be and how good he already is, and I feel like he can help this team immensely on the offensive end. Of course, that could change. They could think about someone else, other guys that I mentioned, or someone completely out of the blue or out of the woodwork, but I feel like for the Bears, for their benefit, they should go with Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame. And on a final note, before we get to our special guest and a bit of local news, someone right here from Tinley Park, Illinois, is going to be, most likely, selected in this year's draft. How crazy is that? His name's Jarvion Franklin. He's a running back from Western Michigan who attended high school in Tinley Park at Victor J. Andrew High School. Here's the scouting report on Franklin. Franklin has tremendous size and splashed onto the scene with one of the better freshman campaigns you will ever see. But his lack of functional burst is extremely limited, both as an inside and outside runner. Franklin spends too much time attempting to elude tacklers rather than just trying to accelerate and run them over, which is what he will need to do in order to become a short yardage specialist in the NFL. And you know, what's great about Franklin is that a lot of people thought that he would make it at some point because in high school, he was just a mammoth. He was a stud for that Andrew High School team. I mean, looking at his stats, for example, in 2012, he had 1,052 rushing yards and 15 rushing touchdowns, averaging nearly 7.7 yards per carry. And at Western Michigan, he did just as well over there, finishing as the school's all-time leading rusher with 4,876 career yards, which also ranks 5th all-time in MAC history and 33rd in FBS history. He also has a school record 56 career touchdowns, 52 rushing and 4 receiving, and last season as a senior was a first-team All-MAC player. So this guy's no pushover. Just because he's a local guy, I feel like he will get drafted by a team. And there was a report that came out a couple of weeks ago saying the Bears were talking to him about bringing him in to training camp. So that'd be awesome if he went to the Bears. But either way, something for some Illinois and some local Chicago residents or Chicago area residents to look for. Seeing Jarvion Franklin getting drafted. Right now in some mock drafts they have him going late 3rd round, others early 4th round. But when you hear that name, remember it, because he's right here from Tinley Park, Illinois, and hopefully he can make a splash in the NFL. And with that, it's time for our special guest. He played in the NFL for 8 years as a member of the Raiders, Jaguars, and Bills, recording 568 total tackles and 6 sacks. Following his playing days, he got into broadcasting, starting on Fox Sports Radio. Today, he is a host on ESPN 710 Los Angeles, Los Angeles Rams pregame and postgame host, college football broadcaster, as well as an analyst on Sirius XM Radio. Please welcome Kirk Morrison to the show. Kirk, how are you doing today, and thank you for being here on the show.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you for having me. Yeah, definitely, it's that time of year where the NFL's off-season jewel, the off-season celebration. This is the culmination of what everybody's been waiting for, the draft, which gives all 32 teams hope and excitement for 2018.
So, first up, let's talk about the NFL draft. Now, I wanted to look at the Cleveland Browns first because their case is very interesting, to say the least. There have been many mock drafts compiled, most of which indicating that the team will be selecting a quarterback with the number one pick, but they have two picks inside the top five. So how do you think the Browns will play this situation out? Because I've been seeing some rumors saying that they'll draft two quarterbacks or they'll trade up in order to get Saquon Barkley and a quarterback. So what are your thoughts on this, and what do you think the Browns will do come tomorrow night?
Well, I think for me, I'm always one to just wait and sit back and see how they handle it. You know, everyone has a report, everyone has a rumor, everyone has a source. But until it truly happens, you kind of just sit back and you wait. Now, we do have an inclination they're going to go quarterback with the first pick and then best player available, you know, at pick four. The only thing is you can't guess what the New York Giants are going to do at two. You can't guess what the New York Jets are going to do at three. And then who's to say it won't be a trade? And the reason why I always say that is because every year there's always going to be a team that could possibly throw a wrench in there. We saw it just a year ago when you look at number one overall pick was Myles Garrett with Cleveland. That was pretty much a consensus. But then pick two was supposed to be the San Francisco 49ers. The Chicago Bears leapfrogged the 49ers. They jumped in front. They drafted Mitch Trubisky, and that really threw the draft, I think, for a loop because they weren't expecting Chicago to jump up and do that. So with that being said, you know, I wait for the draft to kind of just start and see what they do. But I believe they go quarterback, and I think if he's available, I think they may go Bradley Chubb. You get an outstanding defensive end to team up with Myles Garrett, and you also have the quarterback you can groom for the future. If I'm the Cleveland Browns, I know that's what I would do.
So speaking of the quarterback position, there are many players, four or five in particular, who are slated to go off the board in the first round. So keeping that in mind, in your opinion, who is truly the best quarterback in this year's draft?
Well, I think it's a little bit different because are we asking who is going to be the best quarterback in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? Are we asking who's going to be the best quarterback tomorrow? Or are we going to ask who's going to be the best quarterback this season? Because I think they all have different skill sets, and all of them are going to be ready to play at different times. If you ask me right now who's the most game-ready, who I think will go in and win games right away, I think that's Josh Rosen. He's an accelerated, I think, learning curve, an accelerated knowledge of football in terms of his feet work, his eyes, his throws. I think Josh Rosen is ready to go. But if you talk about for the future, you look at Sam Darnold, a guy who's still scratching the surface on how good he can be. He's right there in that mix. Josh Allen, we don't know much of Josh except his last couple of years at Wyoming. Could he be that? And then you look at Baker Mayfield, more of a polished product a little bit. But then you throw Lamar Jackson in there as well. So it's really hard to just say who's the best quarterback because I really think that they have not reached their potential yet. These are all fairly young men, and I don't think there's a ceiling for any of them yet. I really believe that this could be one of the good quarterback classes we've seen. I won't call it the best of all time, but I definitely think this is a nice resurgence in a year of a quarterback.
You know, you mentioned Lamar Jackson. I wanted to go back to him for a minute because few have really talked about him and his NFL capabilities. I mean, this guy is a Heisman Trophy winner, an outstanding athlete, and a successful collegiate player. Why do you think everyone's overlooking what he can possibly bring to the table?
Well, I don't think no one's really overlooking. I just think that a lot of people haven't seen a quarterback like that in the terms of how can you project him. Because, remember, he didn't run a 40-yard dash time, so you don't technically know how fast he is. But you just know his skill set and what he can do with the ball outside of the pocket. He's shown accuracy within the pocket, and he's shown some inaccuracy within the pocket as well. I think a lot of people are really kind of on the fence about him just because they haven't seen that type of quarterback have much success early on. But that's why I think a lot of teams are really kind of quiet about a guy like Lamar Jackson because they know the type of player he's coming from, an offense and a head coach, and in the terms of who speaks the NFL language, in terms of terminology and play calling. that a lot of NFL teams like that. But then also, too, with Lamar Jackson, is that you're not looking at him to come in and start right away. I think he's a guy that you can continue to develop, but with the skill set, the agility, the athletic ability that he presents, I think any offensive coordinator, you know, or quarterback coach will love to have him and try to groom him and mentor him for a couple years. So I think he, out of all the quarterbacks, he may be the one that benefits the most by not going to a truly quarterback-needy team, but by going to a team possibly where he can sit back and learn and at some point take over as a starter in the NFL.
And that's great analysis right there, because I know there have been a couple of rumors saying that the Patriots are very interested in him. Would you say, you know, he would benefit from learning behind Tom Brady for a year or two, or maybe a little more, before he ended up seeing the field?
Well, I think you could just kind of look at Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, Jimmy Garoppolo, all the quarterbacks that have kind of sat behind Tom Brady and have went on to be starters in on other teams, the National Football League. Tom Brady has that kind of ability that you sit back and you learn and you understand what it means to dedicate yourself to the game, and that will be a kind of a match made in heaven, because you're getting a guy in Tom Brady, but also his head coach. I think the same can be said for Jacoby Brissett as well. I think very similar. Nobody really had him on the big-time radar of a lot of teams. The Patriots draft him, and all of a sudden he shows right away, and he wins a football game as a starter, you know, when Tom Brady was out on suspension. And so now Jacoby Brissett is seen as a quarterback that could be a longtime starter in this league. Right now he's kind of behind Andrew Luck, but there's teams out there who are willing to trade for Jacoby Brissett. And I think that's where Lamar Jackson falls in line, and that he could be a quarterback that can sit back and learn a system, especially behind Tom Brady, but actually just learn football in general behind Bill Belichick.
So at pick number 8, the Chicago Bears have many different options to choose from. Now, there are many mock drafts projecting that the team will select Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame, but others are saying Roquan Smith or even Denzel Ward. So what do you think the Bears will do considering their multiple options? Is there someone who you think is a better fit for the team at this point?
Well, just to look at, okay, what are the biggest needs, the most glaring need? And I think they have a bunch of them in terms of starting this thing all the way over with the new head coach in Matt Nagy. So is he going to go offense or is he going to go defense? I look at kind of the what they've done this offseason, and they've really gave quarterback Mitch Trubisky some weapons. And if you can give him another weapon, but this time in the terms of keeping him safe, keeping him protected, that will be a guard. But also it will help out Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard and those guys in a running game, so you get a nice little mauler up front and really get a downhill running game even more to help out in the play action passes for Mitch Trubisky. So I definitely can see them going Quentin Nelson, but it's hard to put Roquan Smith in there because they just got, you know, Danny Trevathan on defense. So you've kind of got a middle linebacker in there as well. And then I like the way that, you know, last year Jackson played at the safety position. So you've got some players there already in Chicago, but are we going to look to defense first? And those type of players, or are you going to get an outstanding guard that's only going to help your offense? Because let's be honest, Chicago's not going to win defensively this year. They're going to win with their offense, especially what they did in terms of in the free agency market, you know, getting Trey Burton, the wide, you know, tight end from the Philadelphia Eagles, and Allen Robinson, the wide receiver. They've given Mitch Trubisky some weapons, and why not get him a nice little guard to help him out? Because it helps not only the pass game, but also the run game.
Definitely, I agree. So, being a former NFL player and also a former draftee, I wanted to talk to you about just the experience itself of getting drafted, because, you know, not many people look at that. Well, everyone is always worried about the mock drafts and the predictions, but people fail to realize, you know, just how important getting drafted to the NFL is and how it could really change people's lives and careers. So I wanted to ask you about your NFL draft experience. You know, give me all the details. I'd love to hear it.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that for the first time in your entire, you know, football career, it's not about, you know, what you've done or what you can do. It's really up to a team to pick you. And so, you know, in high school, you know, you can kind of pick what high school you go to, a Pop Warner. But when it comes to college as well, you know, you've worked your butt off, but at the end of the day, you can pick what college you go to. When it comes to the NFL, it's really different. And all the hard work and sacrifice, your whole football life is in front of you. And then you get the call to, you know, whether it's a team, whether you're drafted or undrafted, you get that call to say, hey, we would like you to be a part of our football club. And it's, you know, an awesome experience. It's an experience that, trust me, I will never forget for the rest of my life, because, you know, here you are, you reach the NFL, and there is no league after the NFL. I mean, there's leagues below it, but there's none above it. And so that's why it's one of those things in which, you know, it's truly a privilege to play in the National Football League, and I hope more guys understand that. And I think they do, because the guys who I run into who play the game understand how much fun and how much of a truly a privilege it was to play in the league. And there are some guys who don't take that full advantage, and when they're done, they feel like they left more out there because they could have played better or did more to stay in the National Football League. So it's a lot, you know, for these young guys going into the draft. But I tell you this, man, just to see those faces, you know, a lot of the tear, a lot of emotion, because, you know, for the first time, you're waiting for someone to pick you and you not pick them.
You know, at the time when you were a rookie, this is just after you got drafted, obviously, you were able to play with Warren Sapp, Charles Woodson, and Randy Moss. All three are Hall of Fame caliber players. So I wanted to ask you, you know, how was that experience for you? You know, having those three guys as really your mentors for that Oakland Raiders team at the time, how was that just coming out of college, and then you're getting to play with all these three great players like that?
Well, it was nervous moments in the beginning because, you know, here I am, guys who I watched when I was in middle school and high school, and even in college, established NFL players, Pro Bowlers, all pro. And here I am, you know, coming out of San Diego State, and you kind of pinch yourself and say, hey, do I belong? And that was my whole goal, was to make sure I showed them by my commitment, you know, from, you know, my study on film to my workouts in the weight room, the way I practiced, the extra work that I did, that I was going to be, you know, definitely showing them that I can play this game. I could play on their level, hopefully. Now, they played on a Hall of Fame level, and I would play, you know, at my own level, but it was still fun to call those guys, you know, teammates, friends, guys that definitely were big influences on me and showing me how to play the game and showing me how to study, showing me how to work and what it means to be great. So I took a lot from them, and there were days I was just, wow, you know, I was in a, like you mentioned, a locker room with those guys, and, you know, they're all be in the Hall of Fame, and it's fun to think that, you know, I had a part into being on a team with those guys.
So I wanted to get back to the draft now, because unfortunately, however, not all draftees end up working out for the best. Case in point, you were a part of the Oakland Raiders when the team drafted Jamarcus Russell to be the team's quarterback of the future. Now, on the Rich Eisen show a few weeks ago, you had some hilarious stories to tell about Russell and how it seriously, though, worried you and the team. If you don't mind, I'd love to hear one of them.
Oh, well, it was just Jamarcus, man. He was, you know, I love the kid. He was a great kid. But I think that, you know, when you give that kind of money to a kid who's 21 years old, you know, 3 years in college, and, you know, take over a franchise, be the face of a franchise, you really have to do your homework, and you really got to make sure that he can carry that kind of responsibility. I just think that he wasn't mature enough to handle that. And I think sometimes you get talent that takes you so far, but when you get to the National Football League, everybody's got talent, and you got to find a way to be better. And, you know, Jamarcus was just to a point where sometimes he kind of did his own thing, and he felt that he can go out there and just wing it, and that's just not the case. I think a story that I know that, like, probably not necessarily well known, but, you know, Jamarcus was once asked to, you know, watch a DVD at home and tell him what plays the next day that you like on the DVD. And the next day, Jamarcus comes in and said, man, I like all the plays, but yet the DVD was blank. Oh. You know what I mean? So that's the kind of things that you go through, and just making sure a guy's committed. And it's not just Jamarcus. I mean, even recently we saw the reports and things that Johnny Manziel said, you know, telling the Cleveland Browns, hey, if you did your homework, you know I wasn't a studier. You know I wasn't this. And that's unfortunate, because certain guys like that don't get those opportunities to come back. And that's why you see both of those guys right now out of the league, all the talent in the world, but right now not in the league because they didn't take advantage of what it means to be a professional football player.
So on a final note, I wanted to look back at your college career with San Diego State. So during your senior year, you guys were facing Air Force, and it was snowing out. You guys were 4-7 at the time, and not contending for a bowl game or anything, really. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a year to remember. Yet what happened during that game was simply amazing. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, as I know you made some clutch defensive plays leading the Aztecs to victory. Could you give me a little thoughts of how it went that day and what you ended up doing? Because I read the story about it, and it was just awesome.
Yeah, you know, that was one of my best college games I played in, you know, especially against the Service Academy team, Air Force. You know, definitely always one of the games that you love playing in, especially in Colorado Springs, you know, being there, you know, on campus and going against a team that predominantly just wants to run the football. But the reason why I love playing Air Force is because it's assignment discipline football, and it's just running around having fun. But everybody had a job and has something to do. You do your job, you'll be fine. You come out victorious. And it was just the winning moments of a football game, and we're just trying to hold on for dear life with a win in Colorado Springs. And I think it was a fourth down. I remember heading to inside the red zone, almost inside the 10-yard line. And for a team that very rarely passes, they had to pass on fourth down. And I just remember reaching back behind my body and picking off the final pass, the final play, fourth down. And I remember getting it and running it out a little bit and taking a knee and running off the field with my teammates, you know, because it was kind of a snowy blizzard that day as well, too. It was like off and on snow. And we won that game. We took a couple knees, and it was just one of the big moments in my college career that we didn't have the success that I wanted my senior year, but definitely that game was one of the ones I always remember.
Kirk, thank you so much for being here on the show. Awesome story and great analysis. I really appreciate you taking the time.
All right, sounds good. I appreciate it. Thank you.
What an honor it was to have Kirk Morrison on the show today. Awesome analysis of the NFL draft. We talked some Bears and also talked about his great career in the NFL and collegiately. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Chi Talk Sports and hit me up personally on Instagram and LinkedIn at John Zags and on Twitter at John Z Sports. Make sure to check out the NFL draft this weekend, Thursday through Sunday. It'll be very interesting to see what the Chicago Bears do. And right now, I'm working on getting a guest for next week to recap what the Bears did and talk about what's to come. Thank you again for listening, and have a great day.